think all of us have got the agenda which is in front of us. Today we've got only one matter, which is the consideration and adoption of the committee budgetary review and recommendation report. And then there will be announcements, and those announcements are announcements that are very important. Having said that, I think we have come now to this point after such a challenging and a, I'll say challenging, not in a negative form, and a hectic week of presentations by entities and the department. But it was not only for the sake of presentation, the engagement with the entities, which I think in this round there was quite an intensive and a more relatively frank engagement within the context of wanting to empower ourselves, but also that we have got that responsibility of playing in oversight, and that process was among the processes that we have conducted. Our oversight. I personally, as the chair, I do think that we were more robust, and in areas where we thought that they need to be corrected, we were not apologetic about that. But we did all that within the context of being humble and diplomatic. Having said that, honourable members, we welcome the whip. We were informed that from his trip he was not well, but we are happy that he is back with us. We will we don't have any apologies. I don't see any of those in front of me. That is why then we will then go to the introductions. We will, Honorable Simakunye.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've sent an apology to leave after an hour to go and join the appropriations committee. I think you maybe, I don't know if she saw it, but I would like to leave a couple.
So when we see you leaving, we must know that you will be joining appropriations. Okay. Honorable Imam Chair.
Chair, good morning, and I know I'm here after a very long time, but I'd like to be released when it's appropriate to also go to appropriations, because we've got a few reports.
We'll have to try and not that we are going to just run through, but we'll try to, because when we've got two of our members that are not going to be part of us, it's going to create a little bit of a challenge for us. Can we, Honorable James? Oh, I thought you. Oh, okay. Here are the house rules. Phones are to be on silent. Guests that have joined us at the appropriate time, in terms of introduction, they will have to introduce themselves using the mic that are nearer to them. Yeah, no photos are taken, not unless a person is from the media. Questions are only asked by members of parliament and by honorable members in the committee. Having said that, I'm Lindelwa Tunjo, for the benefit of the guests. I'm Lindelwa Tunjo, I'm the chair of the portfolio committee. Next to me is Ms. Ryoga Zimachalamba, who is the secretary of the committee. At the extreme back, it's Ms. Ngomane, who is our content advisor. At the back is Moses Mwabe, who is our part of the research team. Ms. Mbali Ngumani Magubane, who is our committee assistant, Ms. Selina Mkalipi, who is the secretary to the office of the chair. Next to him, to her on the other side, it's Zube, who is part of the, who's in the research unit. At the back, it's Ms. Lingis, Noltando is the name, who is the, who's the secretary of the study group of the Afghanistan Congress. I will hand over to members to introduce themselves. Thank you, honorable members. Over to you.
Hello, good morning to everybody. My name is Fish Masalela, member of the committee.
Dimelang ka ofe. Na ke ntate maisela ke lokola committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Sanwanani. My name is Hani Khomik, a member of the committee.
Committee member Walmart James. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. A.M. Sheikh Imam, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. And my name is Doreen Senokanyane, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Mashwanzi Machafta, a member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Nontlantlam Novendava, a member of the committee.
We will then allow the three, our three guests to introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Yuna Fansel from the Tobacco Institute of Southern Africa.
Molweni, I'm Tatawele Fihlani from PMG. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Karen and I'm from Women on Farms Project.
You are Karen who?
Correct.
You must tell us your name and your surname. And can I explain to us, no, you said, and
My name is Karen Alois and I'm working at Women on Farms Project on the health program for women living in rural areas.
Thank you, honorable members. Okay. We will come to the... I'm hoping to understand that all of us have been imaged. And in that image of the report, we have then gone through the report. We then understand that today our brief is to adopt this report. So I will start by... We will go page by page in terms of remarks, corrections, and whatever, amendments, and whatever. Honorable James?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask my colleagues advice about how to proceed, and I have a suggestion. I've gone through this report with great care. And there are many editorial corrections that need to be made. And if we were to rewrite this report in this committee, it would take quite a long time to get right. So what I would suggest is that where there are issues I'd like to raise, I'll raise them, but I've marked up this document and we can hand it to whoever's responsible for doing the final version. I suggest they can then, you know, take care of the language rather than us getting stuck on the editorial side and rather deal with the substantive issues. I only have two substantive issues, by the way, to raise in this entire report, which I think is quite a good report in terms of what it says. So my suggestion is we don't get stuck on the editorial and that we can simply hand our corrections to the staff to take care of after the fact.
That is the proposal from Honorable James. Any comments before?
No, thanks. No. I think it's a progressive suggestion because editorial, English, so as long as it doesn't change the content of the report, and broadly, as long as the committee agreed on the on broadly the content of the report, then the is and the are and the and, then it's something that can be managed. Yeah.
We're all comfortable with that. The second part, I want to make a suggestion. And on the issues that you say they are substantive, will it not be proper that you comment when we are at that particular page? All right. Page one. Page two.
This is just to give you an example. The where it's really problematic grammatically is.
Which page is that?
On page two,
okay.
On the point 112. And if you look at the second bullet, it says TB campaigns will be established. You don't establish a campaign; you conduct a campaign, and so on. So I've corrected that. So just an example of a paragraph that needs word care. But otherwise, it's fine.
Three. Page four. Can I just pick up, can I just check? You do have the document that has got that. Okay, fine. That will then be able to. Okay, all right. Page four. Page five. Page six.
Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. On page six, on the paragraph that begins the TB treatment success rate, if you go to the second sentence where it says neonatal mortality rate remains an ongoing challenge, I would like to propose that we add a sentence after that saying that the FFC expressed concern that the department had not adequately explained the reasons for this trend. They made a great effort to make that point, that there wasn't clarity in terms of why we're seeing this neonatal rate, and then we can certainly pick it up later on in our recommendations.
Do we, because I don't want to if we agree with that addition, will it be correct if then we request the honourable member to put it on in writing and then submit it to the secretariat? But before that, can I pick up from honourable members? Are we agreeing with that addition? Because yes, and I think he is correct. The FFC did make an emphasis on that. All right, page seven.
No, on page seven, it's just the figures. The total, which is the final appropriation vis-a-vis the expenditure. The understanding is that when you subtract the final appropriation from the under expenditure, the total must be the under or over expenditure. But when you subtract the two, doesn't give you the 214,935,000. It gives you a different figure altogether. So there must be something wrong with the figures, which I think they must just go and rewrite it.
Honorable, are you on the same net?
Yes.
No, not the same page.
Okay,
we'll come. Okay. Fine, we'll look into that, and then we'll make the necessary corrections. Agreed? Honorable Snogunya?
Okay, at the bottom of the same page seven, and that during the finance, it's just the phrasing, it's a bit confusing. Starting with it, this includes 20.1 million from, well, I think it's supposed to be compensation of employees to capital expenditure. And then the next thing says 18.7 million rand adjustment in budget allocation between goods and services between programs. So it's just to correct that sentence because it says between goods and services between programs. I don't know if you see that.
I'm struggling to understand the
okay, let's just start from the second line where it says 18.7 million rand adjustment in budget allocation between goods and services between programs.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Just to correct
thank
it.
You, sir. Thank you.
All right.
No, thank you very much. Agreed. Honorable Ndaba, on the same issue that Member Mslobonyana have raised, I just want to get clarity on what exactly what is she saying. Is she saying we must take between programs?
Remember, I'm just saying that it is not clear what it's supposed to mean that because it says between goods and services, between programs. And we need to correct that. 18.7 million adjustment in budget allocation between goods and services, between programs.
Okay. I hope members can it say adjustment in budget allocation between goods and services and or and programs. Between goods and services and we stop. Okay. All right. We'll look into that and page 8. When we're from page 7, continuing with that paragraph to page 8, are we able to? I think now you say between goods and services and. Yes, we will then delete that between programs, put a comma and. Okay, agreed? We are still on page 8, 4.1.1 program. Any comments? Page 9. I think I need to get it clear on the issue that you are correcting now. I think this should be read like this. You will correct me, honorable members. I will jump the 18.7 million adjustment in budget allocation to goods and services programs. Does it make sense? I think we need to correct it correctly. But I mean, they were trying to say budget allocation on goods on goods and services programs. English is a Queen's language. Philosophers can be assisted.
But goods and services can't be programs. That's the difficult. Because there are programs, and then each program has got goods and services. So goods and services cannot be a program.
I think it is just a matter of correcting the language. It should be goods and services, and then we go, and 19.1 million in adjustment in budget allocation from compensation and employment and capital expenditure. It makes sense.
So what you are agreeing with the correction that we made initially. Okay.
Yes.
Number 9.
sir, page 9.
Chair, just the numbering is not right. It should be 4.1.2, not 5.1.2, under conditional grants.
Under conditional grants, it's supposed to be?
The numbering. Okay, it is not 5.1.2, it should be 4.1.2.
Okay. Oh, thank you for that. Page 10. Page 11.
Just a clarity on page 11, under program 3, the achievement here is approximately 65% of the target. And then the last sentence from that, it says more than two-thirds of the planned targets were not fully achieved. If it is 65% achieved, how does the not achieved becomes two-thirds?
Which paragraph is that one?
In the same paragraph, first program 3, first paragraph, the last sentence.
Chair, the way I read this is that the department achieved approximately 65% of its targets. And then it says more than two-thirds of the planned targets were not fully achieved. So I assume that that's what the difference is, but maybe somebody can explain.
I tend to agree with Comrade Mahlalela, that if you achieve 65% target achieved, then the others that are not fully achieved cannot be two-thirds. It will be 35%. 35% is not two-thirds.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the that was a good point that was made, but I think if you look at that paragraph, it is a bit problematic, because the first sentence says fully achieved 37 out of 57, which is actually just over 50%. And then it says this means that the department achieved approximately 65% of its targets. That second sentence doesn't actually speak to the first sentence. It's not a follow on. So I think that's also causing a bit of confusion.
So now you are adding a more correction that says we can't say fully when it is 37 out of 57. If I'm just there, can we? Are there any suggestions in how we rewrite that? Because can there be some sponsors on the rewriting of that paragraph without losing its content? Because I don't want to delay the Honourable James.
Well, I mean, all it should say is the department fully achieved 37 out of 57 targets, not only 37 out of 57 targets, and it did not achieve what is the balance, right, which is what, 20. That's all. That's all you need to say.
Yeah, maybe to add, the department fully achieved 37 out of 57 targets, which represents so many percent.
Okay.
If 65 is correct, let me say which represents 65%. And then I don't know why do you have to then put that two-thirds and all those things. I'm not sure what is it for.
Honorable myself.
to just end at 65% of his targets, that's all. Then forget about more than two-thirds of the planned targets were not fully achieved.
Okay.
Right.
No, I think I'm covered there, Chair. I thought we should just leave out the other parts of the two-thirds and just talk about what was achieved, which represents a certain percentage, and I think that clearly indicates it.
Page 12. Page 13, page 14, 15, page 16.
Chair, this is my substantive issue, which I wasn't present. This is 16 and 17.
Okay.
It has to do with this table, which was, this table was presented to the committee. I was not at the committee meeting, but I was struck by how poorly whoever presented this table represented themselves, because there's no judgment here. For example, if you turn to page 17, number of medical scientists who completed training. The target was 6, they achieved 1, and that's not very good, so not achieved. But if you go just down to the third column, improving total turnaround time, the target was 95%. They got 91%, which is not bad at all. But there's the same conclusion. And so they really should be a far more nuanced in how they describe their achievements. Some they were really underachieving badly, some they were close to the target. It's not the committee's fault for presenting it this way, but we should really ask the department, whoever presented this table, to, you know.
Okay. I think what you're raising is that as in moving forward, if they present issues like, as you are putting it, if we feel that they are unfair to themselves, we engage with them. But unfortunately now, there is nothing that we can change because we didn't engage with the department at that time. But nevertheless, thank you very much. We will look into that. I hope the Secretariat will note that so that in moving forward, not only the department, even entities, when they come, if the comparison are in such a way that we think that they can't just say a blanket not achieved when they have done a tremendous work in that particular, on that particular. All right, page 18. Page 19.
Chair, I have a substantive point here to raise about the Council of Medical Schemes, and it's described in the third paragraph. And firstly, it says that the CMS as an organ of the state. It is not an organ of the state, it's a regulatory agency. And this regulatory agency must discharge its legislative mandate, which is the Council of Medical Schemes Act. That's its job. Full stop. To say that it must do it in a coherent manner and consistent with national policies is not correct. It is an independent regulatory agency. It must execute on its legislative mandate. That's it. So I would suggest that it should read, the Council of Medical Schemes is a regulatory agency that is expected to discharge its legislative mandate in a coherent manner. Full stop.
Is that the last paragraph? I mean the last paragraph before the table. Am I correct?
No, it's the second last.
Oh, the second last.
Second last.
The second last. Honourable members, you are listening. When the honourable member is is correcting, but in that correction, it is then it's a substantive correction. Okay.
If I might just check, as it implement this legislative mandate, it's not guided by any policy. Where does it derive its policy mandate? Is it operating? I know it's independent. Like you've got Chapter 9 institutions that are independent, but they can't operate outside national policy imperatives. Is that the interpretation? And I just want to understand that. I was not there in the meeting, so I don't know how the discussion unfolded.
Honourable James, that's a question. I will take you. The unfortunate part is that both of you were not present at the time when we were making a presentation. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that I've noted you, Honourable James.
Just to say, I mean, it's a question about the law and the legal parameters in which independent regulatory agencies operate. And the Council of Medical Schemes is a regulatory agency that must execute its mandate on the basis of the Council of Medical Schemes Act. And that's all that governs what it does. Because medical schemes must act on behalf of their members, and the Council of Medical Schemes must regulate the medical schemes on behalf of the members of the medical schemes, not on behalf of government. That's the difference. And so therefore to say it must be consistent with government's program of action is not correct. What it must do, it must act, it must be legal, it must execute on its legal mandate.
Honorable
Imam Sheikh. Yeah, maybe it is just to emphasize that this regulatory body has got a mandate which is based on legislation, and this legislation is consistent, or actually is based itself on the National Department of Health strategic goals. Because if they are just going to regulate on what they think is good or what they don't think is good, and it's not inconsistent with the strategic goals of the department, and the department has got its mandate from government, it's not, Department of Health is not a sectarian or a party line or a party of organ. It is a state organ. And so it is just emphasizing what they have to do. And they wouldn't say we did it on the statutory or a statute that has got something to do with something else, but not what they are supposed to concentrate on. I think there is nothing wrong with the sentence as it is.
Honorable Memshik?
Chair, I'm going to disagree. I think it's not an organ of the state. It's a regulatory authority which derives its mandate and must ensure that it's more a watchdog. It's more an organization that's there to implement legislation and make sure that the medical schemes comply in terms of that. So it's not an organ of the state, but it's more a regulatory authority. And I think I must agree with what Honorable James is saying in that regard.
Honorable
Chair, isn't it that when you read page 18, what Comrade Fish was asking is here, is answering his question. I'm subject to correction. Because I think what Honorable James was trying to address, oh, Comrade Fish, in my understanding, I thought maybe he was saying maybe we should also indicate how medical aid schemes are being governed. Unless I'm wrong,
No, Chair, I don't know why you are confusing things. You see, we've got PFMA. No? And PFMA describe organs of state. And they are in the schedules of the PFMA. And this body is part of that schedule. That's why it is listed in that way, in the PFMA. We understand its role. It's an independent authority. That's what it plays. But in terms of the PFMA, it's an organ of the state. That's how it is prescribed by law.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I would take that point. That's not the issue that I'm worried about. The issue is it's a constitutional legal issue that I'm worried about, where it says it must be consistent with national policies. It doesn't have to be consistent with national policies. It's a regulatory agency looking after the members of medical schemes. And those interests might be at variance with national policies. For example, it might be at variance with the national health insurance scheme. And until such time as the NHI is an act of government, is an act of law, then it must be consistent with the NHI. I'm just using that as an example. So what would be correct to say, it's fine to leave organ of state in, colleague, that's fine. CMS as an organ of state is a regulatory authority expected to discharge its legislative mandate in a coherent manner, I think would be correct. The rest should be deleted, I would suggest.
Agreeing with the deletion of the rest as we're listening. All right. Thank you very much. Number page 20. Page 21. 22.
Sorry, Chair, back to 22. This is just a question. I'm sorry, and I apologize. I was not at this meeting. But it says, at the second line, it says, the application for condonation of $983 million has been submitted to the National Treasury.
Which paragraph are you in? 20?
Page 22. The second line from the top. Where it says that, am I at the right place?
You are not in the right place. 22 is dealing with the Office of the Health and Medical Plan.
It's a combination of 6.4.4, the Auditor General's opinion on the previous page.
21.
So, and if you go then to the top of the next page, mm-hmm. It says in 2015 the regular expenditure amounted to $983 million. And then on the second line, an application for condonation of this has been submitted to National Treasury. I just, what's that?
Paragraph 6.4.4, Auditor General's opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think our documents are not exactly the same, but it's really 6.4.4, Board of the General's opinion. The first bullet is the CMS obtained an unqualified report, and then the next line, next bullet is in 2015-16. It specifies what the regular expenditure is, and then it says on the second line, the application for condonation of this amount has been submitted to National Treasury. And I just don't understand what that means.
Well, is it that if you incur an irregular expenditure, you can regularize the irregular expenditure in terms of the PFMA and Treasury regulations. But the only way of regularizing it is to apply for condonation to the National Treasury. Justify, explain, how did you incur this irregular expenditure? And if the treasurer is convinced that the explanation makes sense, they then condone that irregular expenditure. That's how I understood it.
Okay. I think it is clear. Thank you, Honorable Mahlala. Page 23.
I'm just a little concerned when it comes to this 25-7 community health workers. I think there's not enough emphasis.
You are on page?
25, Chair.
Okay.
Even though we talk about them getting stipends and all, but we don't emphasize that these workers don't get any benefits whatsoever, no matter the period of time that they've been there, 20, 30 years. There's no benefits that they enjoy whatsoever, which puts them at a great disadvantage. So I would like that you know, to be emphasized that whilst they're only on stipends and are not taken in permanently yet, they also do not enjoy any benefits whatsoever. That's the first thing about this, Chair. And then the second problem I have with it, I think right at the top on, well, I think you're not going to page 26, but we're dealing with this, with the same thing. Or if you go on to 25, right at about the categorization of community healthcare workers, you know, the minister had very clearly emphasized this point. When the president announced it, the minister had come back and emphasized that all workers that are community healthcare workers will be categorized. Those that do not fall under a particular category as a result of their challenges or qualifications will be accommodated and a category created to accommodate them so nobody will lose their jobs. So you know, and I must be honest, the provinces, I know KwaZulu-Natal has started it. They've implemented, they've sent up the form, they are busy with it at the moment. So for me, I would like to first of all include that these community, because I think we need to emphasize the serious challenges that these workers face and that it must be addressed, and that is that they do not enjoy any benefits whatsoever. And the second thing is that despite announcements being made by the President and the Minister in terms of them being categorized, that is really not happening at this point. So we need to...
Will it not be correct that when we are in findings and observations, then you raise those.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Honorable, if you agree, Honorable Member, we'll not that we're going to drop it, but we will, if we look into our findings, that is not being picked up, then we'll. What I just want to check with members is that did we raise, just to remind, did we raise the issue of benefits?
No.
When there was a presentation that was made by the department, by provinces,
that it yes, we're asking almost those questions. What are the benefits and what when they were presenting? And that's why it's explained in this province, this is what is happening in this province. Like, for example, where they say only two provincial departments that has reported to have this community health workers for having registered under the Employment Insurance Fund with the Department of Labor, while the rest of the provinces, they have not. And then there's no one that says there's a provision for pension and what, except those that have been absorbed by department into various specialties after having been trained.
Honorable Jafta, I will come.
Thanks, Chair. No, I wanted to agree with you, Chair, that let us raise such a concerns when we go for your recommendations, because there is something that talks to the community health workers in bullet number 6 in recommendation.
Honorable Sheikh, are you comfortable with
that? Yeah, I can live with that, Chair. It's just that I felt that in light of the fact that none of the provinces confirmed or agreed that there were any benefits, then it should have really have been somewhere there. I know I was not here. But anyway, if it's going to be covered in recommendation, I'm quite happy.
All right, 26. Page 27. Page 28. Just to draw the attention of members that now we are page 28. We will then be starting with our observations, and we are then dealing with that. But we are on observations before we go to other. Any comments?
Where I was not here during this time. But Chair, I have one little problem with this. All the emphasis seems to be around resources and whether you've spent your money, you have not spent and achieved it. But in our practical experience, there seems to be a great challenge in terms of the health facilities that we have. So for me, I think that the emphasis should rather be on monitoring and evaluation quality as well. You know, not just on the financial aspect of it. And I do know that at one stage we do talk about monitoring and evaluation, but I would find that in our observations, I think at least we should mention the serious challenges we find in our observations personally when we go to the different healthcare facilities, and that there must be some balance between money spent and what we're deriving in terms of the service at these outlets. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I also made that observation that I thought maybe, because I saw in the report, you were saying the department managed to achieve about 64%, but they've spent almost the entire budget. So there's no correlation between the service delivered and the money spent. There's no correlation of the two. You have spent the whole money, but you have delivered less. And for me, it's a big problem. There must be a correlation. If there's a difference, there must be a minor difference. But there's a huge difference. 64% and 99% of the budget spent. It can't correlate, these two. We must get an understanding of why this discrepancy. Why is this thing happening in this way? Because it can't be right that you spend your own money, but you only manage to achieve 64% of what you plan to do out of that budget. For me, it doesn't make sense. So for me, that's one observation. I don't know how we must craft it, but it's one of the issues that we must take into consideration, the issue that ma'am is raising.
Honourable Volmik, Honourable
Mason. I agree, Chairperson, and it speaks to the issue of the public value of money invested, of public funds invested. And I think it also speaks to planning, because if you plan in such a way that even if you spend all your money, you're not hitting the targets, it has to be taken into consideration, obviously, in the next planning cycle.
Honourable Mason.
I agree with Comrade Mashalela about that you can't spend all the money on 64% of work done. And then on the other side, you have 890-something million condonation for what? You know, it means you should explain exactly what happened. Why do you have the money spending it on less work? And on the other side, having a lot of money that you want to be condoned. What? Maybe it was explained somewhere, or what was it used for?
Can I just correct? Condonation was within the Council of Medical Schemes. Condonation was on the Council of Medical Schemes. It was not on the on the department. Because we're talking about the department now. Can we find can somebody, Honorable Mashalela, if you can craft so that when we are done, we read that and check if it is acceptable from members. Page 28, 29, Honorable Volmi.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I've got two separate points on page 29. I'm just maybe going to the first point. If we go to the last bullet point, just before entities, so that's just in the upper part of the page there. So just after it speaks about the CCMDD, I would like to submit to the committee that we add a point, or propose we add a point here, on the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. It was raised in committee. The minister responded quite strongly on it. There was an agreement that we can't let this institution fail. And so what I would like to propose is that we add this sentence. There was a need for the department, in conjunction with Treasury, to honor its commitment to support the operational functioning of the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. So we're not saying how much, because obviously there are fiscal constraints, but the principle is there.
Okay. I don't think that can be a problem. I agree with you. It was the minister explained intensively, and we were all in agreement. Should it be a bond on its own? A bullet on its own. I use it. What was that? Or should it not fall? Okay. Because if it is an observation on how you have crafted it, you crafted it as a recommendation. So it means it must be crafted twice as an observation, and then the latter, the reading that you have just made, then that falls under recommendation. Are we in agreement, honourable members? Okay. Is that you said there were two issues?
Thank you, honourable chairperson. The second one is under 9.3. This is the last bullet point. I don't know if this captures strongly enough the observation that was made. The concern was that they had reported that the industry had had a net operating loss, and that there were different ways of recuperating. One of it seemed to be, from our observation, that there was an increase in a massive increase in monthly premiums that the public has to pay in terms of medical schemes. And so the last point where it says the committee questioned the role of the CMS, I don't think it strongly enough captures what we were saying. I would like to propose that last bullet point be replaced with this sentence. The committee was concerned about how the CMS fulfills its mandate in terms of protecting members of the public, especially in light of the substantial escalation of monthly contributions. I mean, they were speaking about a 15% in some instances increase in monthly contributions. So I would like to propose that we replace that bullet point with the one I've just read.
So in your view, this bullet point is not explicitly reflecting on what then is the role of the Council of Medical Schemes in ensuring that members are protected in the, and do we realize, I think we that was also an issue that was discussed, and they raised their concerns and the challenges that they are having. Do we have a challenge? Do we have a problem in rewriting that bullet point, which in fact is just putting into context what we really mean by the role of the Council of Medical Schemes? Agreed. You will submit that. 30, page 30. We are on page 30 now, point 11 is recommendation. Honorable Marshall.
Is it possible to craft the bullet 1, 2, 3 in the same way as bullet four, because it will be difficult for the minister.
Where are
to
you?
On recommendations.
Oh, okay.
It will be difficult for the minister to strengthen financial management because he's not in charge of provinces. Unless you still craft in the same way, assist provincial department to strengthen financial management planning.
Honorable Imam?
Chair, yeah, in line with the fact that a lot of the achievements is far below what was planned for, should there not be some emphasis on their strategic plans as well, you know, that are present? So maybe the department needs to pay more attention to these strategic plans that are coming through from the relevant provinces and things. That is where they are actually issuing. So I don't know if we need to include that.
I thought you were going to agree with what Honorable Mashalela is saying, so that we deal with that. Then we come to the new point that you are raising.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with? Okay. We're all comfortable with the. Okay. Then you can come in, Honorable.
Yeah, Chair, I think one of the major problems we have here is, I think, and makes it very difficult even with the national department, is that the failure of the provinces to properly their plans in the strategic plans that they bring in. More often than not, they're coming in with the plans, getting the money, and they're not ready to spend it and appropriately as well. So I don't know if on our recommendations we should also emphasize that the department look into ensuring that the strategic plans are more achievable rather than coming in, and that's why you find there's such a great disparity between what they've achieved and what they're supposed to have achieved. And Chair, one more thing is, I think on bullet four, where we talk about assess province to address SCM challenges to reduce wastage, shorten procurement term, I think we must also emphasize on ensuring that we get value for money. And if you heard the Chief Procurement Officer say a week ago, 40% of the 600 billion rand that we use for goods and services is what we are losing as a result of overpricing. So it will help our provincial department and others if we are able to put more emphasis in trying to make sure we get value for money. As a result thereof, I think we'll save a lot of money.
Honorable Volmik.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe just to speak on that point and the point that the Honorable Mashalela made a bit earlier with regards to performance. Maybe one way of articulating that would be to add, as a second bullet point, in fact, before going to the provinces, a sentence reading, present to the committee a plan to improve the department's performance, especially in Program 5, which is hospitals, tertiary services, and workforce development, where only 45% of the targets were fully achieved. And so the reason for that is that there needs to be an overall approach to improving performance. And also highlighting Program 5, where it's actually below 50%, I think then at least gives them a direction in doing so without dictating too much in terms of how they submit their plan.
Do we have a problem with that, honourable members? No, it's fine.
Page 31.
On the moment, before.
I was saying, Chair, maybe in line with what we've been raising, the disjuncture between the expenditure and achievement. If we can, after the crafting, we can also come up with a recommendation as well. Ngoman is busy with the crafting, so I hope she's going to do that as well.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just in looking at the point made earlier on neonatal mortality, I think perhaps it's important to add a recommendation here, and I would submit that we put it after HPV vaccine grant. And that is a recommendation that reads as follows: explain the reasons for the increase in neonatal mortality and prioritize interventions aimed at reducing this alarming trend. Because there was a need to explain, and also an intervention, I think, is also required.
I don't think we've got a problem with that because it's a matter that we raised and we're also concerned. I hope the drafters will come together, and but I think we are in agreement with the content of the proposed points.
Page 51.
Still on recommendation. Honourable James.
Chair, let me see. It's
on page 31.
31.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm referring to the bullet point where we say that ensure that the SAMRC, the Medical Research Council, conducts further research on the causes of esophageal cancer in the Eastern Cape. And I thought that should be changed because it's not the causes, it's the causes of esophageal cancer, especially in the Eastern Cape. you do research on esophageal cancer because you do research on esophageal cancer. But clearly there's a problem in the Eastern Cape. So if you can just say on the causes of cancer, especially in the Eastern Cape.
On the NHLS, I'm not sure whether it's correct to say begin to look. Maybe we should say develop a new funding model for NHLS instead of say begin to look. Develop a new funding model.
Okay. Oh, no, you are correct. Honorable Maisela, then Honorable Iman.
I think it was explained that they are now giving a direct budget. They are not dependent on billing the provinces because that was creating a problem. So they already explained that they are having a new funding model for the NLHS.
I think I said that initially, you know, English is the Queen's language. Because if you say begin, maybe develop because they don't have, so they were to look into developing. So can we look into developing a new funding model? Because the problem is starting a sentence with begin, but also it would be a problem to start with the word develop as if they have already, but they want to develop a new funding model. So it's how to put it in English.
That they said that they have already developed this new funding model. They got a budget from fiscals. They are not depending on billing in order for them to pay their staff and or buy whatever they need to buy. That's the explanation I got. I think they have already developed that. They have a budget for them. They don't depend on, like before, on billing their clients in order to do their job. So that the minister was even saying that was a problem. If they didn't bill anybody, or if anybody didn't pay or bring any specimen to them, they would close shop.
Honorable Vonnick.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to get light on, just to bring clarity again to that, I think that was what was discussed. I think the minister was saying that, in fact, it was being considered by cabinet at this stage, that there be a new central grant. So, in fact, begin to look into a new funding model. It's already there. The question really is about making sure that funding model then receives the consideration.
Is there a new funding model for NHLS?
Cabinet is considering. a new, so we don't have.
We don't have.
Cabinet has not come back to the minister, to us, and said, as a committee, this is a funding model that as cabinet we have agreed on. So it is still if I can say, still work in progress. They haven't finalized it. So I don't want to make, for the benefit, so that we are not stuck. Will it not be, because we have raised this in the observation, because I was going to propose that we delete this, and that because it is really going to, we are going to think on something that is not yet in our disposal, a process that has not yet been reported by the minister to us, that as cabinet, this is the model that we have agreed on. Because I do remember that he said they are still looking into it as cabinet. Honorable Imam Sheikh, Honorable James, Honorable Moisen.
Chair, while that is in progress, could we not rather just say, consider a new funding model to fund the NHLS?
For the benefit of the two members, will it not be proper that you say I'm just trying to rephrase, but the cabinet must fast track the development of the new funding model for NHLS. Honorable myself, Honorable James. James, I've noted you, Honorable Sinokonya.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay.
I'm absolutely.
Honorable Sinokonya.
No, Chair, I actually wanted to second that to a thing. If we ourselves are not agreeable on whether or not we've got the model, maybe we should just delete it. I wanted to second that, because we cannot tell the cabinet to, because this is not referred to the cabinet, it's for the department. We just leave it out if we don't have the correct.
The recommendation to the minute is not to cabinet. So what we must recommend is the fast tracking of the development of the new funding model for NHLS. Whether he does it through cabinet whatsoever, that is his own problem. But what we want is the finalization of that funding model. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Agreed.
The next point, Chair, I see we talk about ensure that the NHL implement effective measures to enable improved pathologist pathways. And I wonder if we could not also include, attract more medical scientists, because I see in the previous page, in page 29, we talk about the dwindling numbers of medical scientists. So I don't know if you want to emphasize while we want them to improve on the pathways of pathologists, simultaneously they must do whatever necessary to attract more medical scientists, otherwise they will have a problem in the time.
No, I think that we also raised when we were deliberating in the committee, that we are really concerned about the
medical scientists.
The both the scientists and the technologists were concerned about the numbers. As much as they were concerned, they were also worried, but there are some issues there that we spoke about in terms of the board that is dealing with the. So it will, our concern and that situation must improve. It will have to take into consideration the fact that we raised sharply in the committee the challenges, and even with the minister, we did raise that, because we thought that board is being appointed by the minister, the examination board, and the minister said no, it is not. So it goes back to the board of the National Health Laboratory Services. So we must craft it in such a way that it take into consideration all the issues that we raised in the presentation in relation to the number of scientists and technologists in that sector. Honorable Meyer, sir.
I think the simple explanation was that there was no money to pay them, and they didn't see any reason why they should hang around. They left. Now,
Honorable Meyer, if I may just remind, if I may just remind, that was before, remember, when the NHLS was in a serious financial situation, which also necessitated the minister to take a bold step, and then that is why they were penalized by Treasury, that they had an irregular expenditure. Among other things that the NHLS CEO raised was that what the causal factor of the migration of scientists was that people were not quite sure whether they are going to be paid or not. So those are two different issues. When then there was an intervention made by the minister on the challenges that NHLS was encountering at that particular time, after that, the CEO said the situation has normalized. The major concern that we had as members was on the basis of, because they reported that when they came in front of us before this presentation, that students, when they write examination, NHLS are within, they are in the, those scientists are in National Health Laboratory Services. Remember that National Health Laboratory Services has got two categories or components, scientists, which are pathologists, and you have got medical technologists. So they do have two, call them categories, but they do have those. So I think the Ms. Ngomane will in recrafting that will make sure that we don't lose the essence of our concern in terms of the failure rate of the students when they write their board exams. That they have passed in the word, but we have always having that. That's why we raised it with the minister, and the minister clarified, but he then promised that he would then go back and look into and check onto that matter. So it must take into consideration all those factors. Then on Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Vonik.
I think the second issue with regards to scientists, it was the low recruitment. They have a challenge on new recruits.
Okay.
So hence we said at the committee that day, they must have a program where they will go visit high schools so that they can tell the students on what is it. They must encourage students to enroll on their profession. There were two things. I think I want to agree with you that I'm sure what we need to do is to craft correctly our recommendation.
Honorable Volmik.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I've actually got my two final points, but it's on page 31. The one point relates to the NHLS, but with your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I'd just like to just go back because I was asked to craft a recommendation on the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. So just before coming to the NHLS recommendation, I would like to propose that under further strengthen the Ideal Clinic Initiative at provincial level before getting to the Medical Research Council, before getting to the entities, we insert this bullet point. Ensure that the operational functioning of the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital is supported by the department. I believe that that point, read in conjunction with the observation, should cover us, if that's okay with the chair and the committee. And then, chairperson, with regards to the point on the NHLS, we asked the board and the chairperson about NAPISA, and there was concern in that there was a change management challenge because the staff weren't sure about the future of the organization, so there was that element, but also there's a public health of the public that can be enhanced through NAPISA. And so for those reasons, I'd like to propose that we add a point after, just before leaving NHLS, that says expedite submission of the NAPISA bill to the committee. And the reason why I believe that's appropriate is because the minister's role is to, part of it is to initiate legislation, so it's appropriate it goes to him, and we do need an expedited process there.
Proposal on NAPISA, Honorable Mashari?
No, thanks, Chair. I was just following the argument by Honorable Maisela here. I'm sure the issue that is raised, if you go to 9.1, bullet number 2, I'm not sure whether you were raising the same matter. I don't see what are you saying about that, because there is no explanation why there has been a number of resignations from Medical Research Council, and therefore what recommendation are you putting in place, because that's what it says here. It says the committee observed that the SMRSC experienced a number of resignations during the period under review. And I'm not sure whether an explanation was given for such a huge amount of resignation, and therefore, what measures are they putting in place to address the situation going forward? Is it related to the budget, or is it something else?
The explanation that was given was the explanation during the time when NHLS had a serious financial. Where? Or Medical Research Council. No, he said NHLS. No. When you initially, you. Oh, okay. No, thank you. We didn't ask.
They explained that that's when they were saying they didn't know whether they would be paid or not. There was no budget, and the scientists were running away.
You are creating a confusion. You are giving an explanation on National Health Laboratory Services when you are talking about Medical Research Council. The Medical Research Council, if there is a member that can assist us in remembering what then the Medical Research Council, you are confusing us. You are giving a right explanation, but for a wrong entity. Honorable Ndaba?
I think what the minister said that day, he said they are being recruited at universities, given a better offer, hence the high rate of resignation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, just to separate the issue. So the issue was, it was in fact, I think it was Professor Gray who was speaking about the fact that, because we had raised the question on resignations, and she was saying, in fact, she was happy with the resignations. because it means that the researchers are moving on and they were producing, they're putting into the pipeline of research.
Except that, honorable, my seller can, I think, no, that's correct. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We are on conclusions on page 10. Number 12. Can there be order, honorable Ndaba and Ms. Gomani? Any, there are the conclusions. Thank you very much, honorable members. With that, can we, with all the corrections, with agreeing that we will deal with the issue of the... Mr. Mashalel?
Thank you, Chair. IAF Mashalel moves that we adopt the report with the amendment that we've proposed.
And I, Wilma James, second that. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. I hope we are observing that every year we are, there's a step forward, a step on improving, either in the structuring of the report.
Chair, on a point of order, I want to say that there's a joke here somewhere, and we'd like somebody to share what that joke is with the rest of the committee.
You want me to?
I think it's a source of amusement, and
yes,
we'd like to share in it.
I don't know. People who are laughing. it's a positive and a wonderful joke. We will share that joke when we at Europe, before we rise as Parliament. But I wanted, on a more serious note, honorable members, I think we are observing that we are really exercising our oversight, our focus, and concentration on the work, and I think we are really improving, and also to commend the staff. Yes, there will be those mistakes, but as we move forward, I think how we structure our report is really commendable. Having said that, the announcement, honourable members, please don't leave, honourable Volmik.
Thank you, honourable chairperson. May I just add one point, if I may, before moving to that? I just think that I'd agree the committee staff needs to be commended for the report, but I think also more especially for the preparation packs that they had for us as members before the different entities and the department. I think they were outstanding, and I really think they need to be recognized for that.
No, thank you very much. It doesn't mean, therefore, that they must not improve. Because as the chair, I have got some areas, but really they are doing. Credit is to be, when it's due, is to be given. We have got announcements, honourable members. There's a congress that is going to take place in Durban on the 31st and the 3rd of August, and 31st of October to the 3rd of November. We are then invited by the minister. The minister invited the chair and two committee members. Because we were to rush with time for the approval by the House Chair, the Chair, within her responsibilities, I identified two members, one from the ANC and one from the DA, Honourable Mashalela and Honourable Volmik. But we made a footnote that says, in the event that these two members won't be available on these dates, we will then change. So we just one wants to check if because it too, by virtue of proportional representation in parliament. It is then the ruling party, and then one from the majority, from the leader of the opposition party. So that is the. We do have a program. We will circulate it. But it is because we are said it's the first conference. It is addressing the challenge of patient-centered care and safety. That is the. It's an international. In fact, it's an international event, which is its first time posted in one of the African states. Are we comfortable, honourable members, with that?
Thank you, honourable chairperson. Just to confirm, what were the dates?
I didn't get that. The 1st to the 3rd of November. Please clear your date, your diaries. If there are things that are to happen within by Wednesday, if you think that you're going to be available, please tell us so that we're able to. So we're giving the two members up to Wednesday to indicate their availability. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned until we meet again. Ha, 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 ha.